This is Spectrum.
Alternative medicine. Homeopathy. Secret society. Hypnosis. The paranormal. Alternative energy. UFO. Abduction. The weird. The wild. And the wonderful.
With your hosts, Tom Theophanis and Scott Jordan.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to the Spectrum Radio Network on BBS Radio 2. This is Scott Jordan here with my co-host, Tom Theophanis, and remember, there's no such thing as too much information. Hey, Tom, how you doing?
I'm good. Well, we have another great guest today. His name is Craig Faraway. He started out at a young age playing the drums, singing, and writing songs. At the age of 21, he wrote and performed the title track for an album dedicated to the Calgary Olympics in 1988. The song, Dream on the Horizon, was featured in a CBC documentary and received regular airplay on FM stations across Canada. Motivated by high prices of commercial beer and his love for the beverage, Greg, at age 21 at the time, started experimenting with beer kits from his local home brewing shop. Well, 20 years later, he's still at it. He now has a popular YouTube channel, which he apparently named CraigTube. He attracted literally thousands of followers, and I believe there's over 6,000 of them. Many of them which claim that they never would have started home brewing if it weren't for Craig. Craig also does a variety of other things on his YouTube channel, including cooking shows, music performances, and philosophical talks, with topics ranging from paranormal, the nature of the universe, but, of course, the main theme on his channel is beer.
Wow.
Hey there, it's Craig here.
Yeah, isn't that amazing? Eh?
That's the way I usually start my programs, so just a little joke.
Awesome. Well, that's great.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Pleasure to have you. The topic today is beer, so what can you tell me about that?
Beer. Beer is...
beer, glorious beer.
Yeah. according to Wikipedia, it's the third most popular drink after water and tea. So it's very popular. Americans, Canadians, and Europeans love their beer. And, you know, it goes back, it dates back over 10,000 years ago when it was first discovered. So it's not really known exactly how it was discovered. It was probably stumbled upon. We're not sure. It wouldn't be that difficult to be making bread one day and accidentally mix up some yeast with some cereal grains and maybe notice something going on. And we'll get into that a little bit as we talk about how it works. But there's quite a history to beer and how it came over to the United States and Canada.
Wow.
So I could go into that, I guess, if you want.
I'm sure. Give me a history lesson. I'm always open for that.
Well, the main ingredients of beer, first of all, are malted barley. And you are probably wondering what malted barley is. Well, I'll get into that a little bit later. But it's a grain. It's a cereal grain. And hops, which is a flowery kind of green herbal sort of thing. It's a leafy cone-shaped or aromatic thing. It has aromatic properties, bittering properties.
I have one in my garden, by the way.
Oh, well, and if you smell one of these things, it has almost a mixture between grass and sort of a citrusy smell to it. And there's lots of different types of hops, which give the beers different flavors. And it also depends on when you add them. And of course, there's a lot of experimentation going on. But the beer has been around. It's not a new thing. In fact, the pilgrims came over to in 1620 when they loaded the Mayflower up with pilgrims. They loaded it up with food and beer.
Mm.
And as a matter of fact, and we're talking 1600s, 1620 here, As a matter of fact, they actually ended up dropping off the pilgrims early. They didn't actually take them to where they were supposed to take them. They actually said, hey, you got to leave now because we're running out of beer. the crew members were worried they were going to run out of beer, so they dropped them off. And I'm not an American historian, so I don't know all the details of the pilgrims, but that's basically what the story is. So, and so the pilgrims, they settled here. In the United States, they immediately started making their own beer. And everyone drank it all day. Basically, you got up in the morning, you drank your beer, you drank it until you went to bed. There must have been a lot of drunk people around there. But even the children used to drink it. Now, they made something called small beer, which what they would do is they would take the grains that they used to make their beer, and they would reuse the same grains, something like reusing a tea bag for a second time, and they would make a less potent version of beer for the kids to drink. So, yeah. And so after a while, it started to die off. Beer drinking started to become replaced with whiskey, and then a whole pile of Germans came over, and they brought over their favorite beer, which was a lager style beer. And lager style beers are brewed differently than ale beers because they're brewed at lower temperatures, and there's different characteristic to the beer. It's a very clean, refreshing beer, and so that caught on. And it wasn't long before breweries started popping up and, you know, jump forward a few hundred years, and now we've got big industry involved, and now we don't make our own beer anymore. Just like we don't make our own bread anymore, we rely on industry to make it. But some of us still do make our own, and there's different reasons for that. But I just wanted to give a little bit of a history, and a lot of people don't really understand how beer is made, it's been being made for many years for the same way. There are different ways of making beer, but I'll just go over basically the traditional way of making beer, which is you take the malted barley. Now, malted barley is a grain that's basically like a cereal. And what malting does to it is they germinate it. They moisten it so that it starts to sprout. Okay. And then right when it sprouts, they immediately dry the grains so they stop sprouting. And what this does is it creates a situation where there's starches inside the grain. And what you do is then you take the grain and you submerge it in hot water. At certain temperatures for certain periods of time, and it's different, you know, I mean, everyone's got their, but basically for an hour and a half, you submerge it in hot water, and what happens is the starches convert into sugars. And why is that important? Well, we'll go into that a little bit later. So then what you end up with after this is finished, you rinse off the grains, you basically, rinse them off, get all the goodness off of them, and you separate them and you remove them. And now you've got a liquid, which is called, it's called wort or wort. There's two different ways of pronouncing it. It's W-O-R-T, and there's some argument over how it's pronounced, but I've been told it depends on where you're from. Some people pronounce it wort and some people wort, but it doesn't matter. And what you do is you take that and you boil it. Okay. And you add your hops at the specific times, and that adds your bitterness and your flavor. And then you boil that for an hour or so. And then you cool that down, and you add your yeast to it. And yeast is a major ingredient in beer because it's what causes the fermentation. So, as far as fermentation goes, that's a word some people don't understand. Fermentation happens naturally. And that's why we think that maybe they stumbled upon beer by accident. If you take yeast, and I'm talking any kind of yeast, whether it be grocery store yeast or brewer's yeast or whatever, and you mix it with a solution that's sweet with sugar, like a sugary solution, the yeast eats the sugar and turns it into alcohol. Well, it can, you know, it eats the sugar, and as a byproduct, it gives off alcohol and carbon dioxide. And so that's how the alcohol is produced. So when you make your beer, you take your grains and you do, you know, what I said, where you soak them and you get the, convert the starches into sugars, you end up with that sweet wort, which is basically a grain juice, you know. And when you add your yeast to that, the yeast eats the sugars that were created and creates the alcohol. And of course, the malt flavors come through. You've got your malt flavors, you've got your alcohol, you've got your hops. That's what your beer is.
Wow. Okay? You know, when you're saying that, I'm getting an image. You mentioned something about ancient man discovered it by accident. I had an image pop up into my head of the first ancient drunk man. I can take that mammoth all by myself, you know, going out there and beating the crap out of him. I just had this ancient man image, the first drunk guy. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, good imagery. and so the very last thing you have to worry about with beer is carbonation, and that's not a big deal. When the beer ferments, it ferments in a, and the important thing about making any kind of alcoholic beverage like this is that fermentation happens naturally. In all the garbage bins and recycled bins and green bins of the world, it's happening every day, every night, all the time. But, you know, if you open your garbage bin, you know, it doesn't smell very good because there's a lot of bacteria and other things going on there besides fermentation, which could, because yeast is everywhere. It's in the air. It's floating around. There's all kinds of yeast, wild yeast strains floating around. And, you know, if you leave an orange on the table for long enough, it will eventually rot. And part of that process is because the yeasts that are in the air eat sugars and it starts to ferment. So when you make a beer beverage or a wine beverage, what you're doing is you're sanitizing everything. So first of all, you're boiling the wort, so you're killing everything that was in there, and you're sanitizing all your equipment that you use to ferment the wort. So you're basically creating a situation where the only organism that is going to be able to infect your wort is the yeast that you add.
Right.
Okay. Everything else gets kind of locked out, you know, and that's why it doesn't rot and go stinky and nasty. And then, and so then what you do is you bottle it or you keg it or you do something with it to carbonate it. And, carbonating is basically you put your beer in your bottles, you add a little bit of sugar to each bottle, you put the beer in there, you cap it. This is after it's fermented for a couple of weeks. And, you know, there's different ways of, some people said, transfer their beer to a secondary, fermentation bucket or pail or carboy to let it settle and age and that kind of thing. This is all on my channel, my YouTube channel, CraigTube. You know, the videos are all there. And then when you go to bottle your beer, you add a little bit of sugar to each bottle, put the beer in there, cap it off. And then what happens is the yeast that's in the beer goes, oh, look, there's a little more food down there. Let's go and eat that. So it eats that little bit of sugar, and it again creates a little bit of alcohol and some carbon dioxide. Now, the carbon dioxide can't escape anymore because it doesn't have any way of getting out, so it forces itself into the beer, and that's how you get your bubbles. That's the nuts and bolts of it. There's the basic premise of it. There's lots of different ways of doing it, and you know, I know it sounds a little complicated, but it's really not. It's quite simple.
Well, you know, I had a kind of a crazy question asked of us earlier. Have you ever heard of anybody who tried to make beer out of grains that were in crop circles?
Crop circles. You had to get that stuff in the interview, didn't you?
It was a question that was asked of us.
The basis of your program is to talk about those kinds of things.
Hey, that's why we're here.
I don't know the answer to that question.
It wasn't my question. It was somebody's question.
No.
Wow, that'd be good beer.
This all sounds, it can, you know, that what I described to you there is, it's called all grain brewing, and that's the traditional way of making beer. And a good portion of the home brewers these days still do it that way, but it can seem a little intimidating for beginners. And I know that because the messages I get on YouTube, I can tell you from absolute experience and from what people are saying that the all grain process, although it's fun and it's interesting, you can make way better beer than what you would buy in any beer store, any store. Mm-hmm. It can seem a little intimidating at first to a beginner. And that's why there are other ways of making beer. And that's sort of where I came from with my YouTube channel, trying to show people that, you know what, you can make beer in your home, in your kitchen, without having to go through all of those procedures. Now, let's be fair. All grain brewing is an art. It's a science. It's a beloved hobby by many, and it's very technical. Protected. Well, I don't know how. It can get technical. It can be very simple as well. It depends on how deep you want to get into it. There is some equipment required. Additional equipment. You need to be boiling 6.5 to 7 gallons of wort. So you need a huge pot in most cases. Mm-hmm. You can do it with two pots, smaller pots, but for the most part, you need a large pot. And you need a large heat source, which is usually a propane burner. And so there are some things you might need to get. And if you live in a northern climate, you might, because you can't use propane burner inside in the house, you blow yourself up. So there are some situations where it might be a little inconvenient and possibly a little intimidating for a beginner.
Now, isn't this why? Homebrew. Isn't that's a good comment? Isn't this why you created a series of videos when you started out called Easy Home Brewing, and I believe they've gotten like just a ridiculous amount of hits, and a lot of people have watched that series, Easy Home Brewing, and you can find that on CraigTube, his YouTube channel. And that's what sort of started the whole ball rolling for you. Not that you weren't interested in it before, but as far as an educational thing on the internet.
Well, you know, when I opened my YouTube channel in 2006, I had no idea what I was going to do with it. I was just looking for a way to post video online. And at the time, you either had to buy hard drive space off of some, provider, or you had to be limited. And when YouTube came around, I was like, wow, this is cool. I can actually post home videos or whatever. I've been shooting videos since I was 18 years old. So I have, a huge archive of family home videos. I've been a videographer for many years, and it's been one of my main passions is video editing and shooting.
So YouTube was just a natural evolution for you.
Yeah, it's actually, strangely enough, one of the things I haven't really talked about much on my channel, but is video and video editing, but that will change. And I just said, what can I do on this channel? I created this channel called, and at the time, there was not a lot of people on YouTube, and you could get your name, which is, my name's Craig, C-R-A-I-G, and then I thought, well, it's YouTube. So who's me? Who's you? Well, that's Craig. So it's CraigTube. you can't get that anymore now. Any name you can think of, you can't get your name tube anymore. It's quite hard to do, but I was lucky to be able to do it. So, and when I posted my first home brewing series, that's because I was standing out front my house with the neighbor and I was drinking a home brew and I was giving him some home brew and he was like digging it, He's like, wow, how do you do that? How do you make this stuff? Because beer, people think of beer as just some mystical thing that you just, you can't make this stuff in your house. What do you mean? And I said, well, you do this, you take that. And I showed them the easy way to do it, which we'll get into in a little bit.
Yeah, we have a break coming up in about 2 minutes. So,
okay. Yep. I can quickly finish up with that. And so I told them, I said, look, I'll tell you what I'll do. I've just opened a YouTube channel. Told him how to get to it on the internet. I said, I'll make a video series on how I make my beer, and you can watch that. And then you can go. And he watched it, and he actually went and got the equipment, and now he makes his own beer. So that's how it happened. And then slowly, people started demanding more videos about brewing. I did different things like drumming and did some other stuff, cooking, and people were like, hello, Craig, where's the brewing videos? So I just carried on with some more experimentation, and yeah, we still do it. Home brewing is fun.
Okay, well, let's take a break for our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Are you suffering from constant pain in the knee, shoulder, wrist, and other parts of your body? Needle-free acupuncture with Lapingo Life Pads may be the answer. Lapingo Life Pads combine ancient wisdom with modern nanotechnology and advanced engineering. They're designed to relieve pain naturally with no needles and no side effects. That's Lepingo, lapingoproducts.com.
You've always been told to think about the alternative. Well, we can do better. We can show you. AlternativeLifestyleProducts.com will improve your health, well-being, and lifestyle through hundreds of different products, from herbs and well-being products to our large selection of specialty clothing, jewelry, and more. We ship around the world with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. There's always new products and amazing specials. Let us show you at AlternativeLifestyleProducts.com.
Well, welcome back to Spectrum Radio Network. Scott Jordan here, my co-host Tom Theopanis, and we're talking to Craig Fairway, who has a popular YouTube channel called CraigTube, where he does instructional videos on making beer and assorted other things. You were telling us about beer.
Well,
and what a fascinating subject it is, too.
Well, beer is great. People generally love beer. When I created the channel on YouTube, I did not intend on it becoming a beer channel. As a matter of fact, I do want to point out that I'm not the cream of the cream of the. I'm not the beer god. Let's just say.
You're not beer guru?
No, I'm not the guru. I hate to say it. People, you know, I help a lot of people every day, but I'm really, I have a lot to learn. You know, I approach beer making from an easy homebrewing standpoint, although I have made a hobby of it as of late and have been getting into working with the raw ingredients that we described earlier. But mainly, there's a lot of guys and gals out there that really have great setups, lots of equipment, technique. They've been doing it for a long time. They know which hops to use and which grains to use. There are different types of grains, by the way. Some of them are roasted so that they have different flavors and color, which give beer the different, you know, characteristics. And although, you know, I've been making beer for many, many years, so I know a lot of the technical things that can go wrong, like why is my, you know, how come it's not bubbling, or how come, you know, it's you know, what temperature, and, you know, but mm-hmm. when it really gets down to the you know, the real nitty gritty, there are really, really talented guys out there that that make absolutely incredible beer, and I've tasted it.
And they send them to you.
I have had people, yes. I'm a little leery about being sent home brew because, gosh, you never know. Somebody, you know, but, you know, hey, I don't think anyone's going to. It's somebody did send me an all-grain beer from the UK, and, man, I was shocked. I mean, it was just, it was an all-grain beer that he showed the recipe, showed how he made it, and it was so good. You have to understand that the industries that have taken over beer, just like everything else, I mean, mm-hmm. listen, when you bought a Monopoly, you know, game when you were a kid, the little things were all metal and they were all high quality. Nowadays, they're all plastic and crappy, you know. So it's the same with beer. I have to tell you that most people think that when you go to the store and you buy, I'm not going to name brands, but I know this is a online radio, but just, you know, your standard store-bought beer, most people think that that's what beer is. And it really is far, far from what people used to do when they made their own beer in their homes. And as far as making your own beer in your home now, even if you do it, quote-unquote, the easy way, you can make much better beer than some of the stuff that you buy in the store.
Could you define? Could you? I'm sorry, Tom. I just had a thought pop into my head. Can you define easy way?
Well, okay, yeah, sure. There's different ways now of making beer. There are companies that have come along that have done some of the dirty work for you. In other words, they have taken the grains and they have, soaked them in water. That's called mashing them, by the way. You mash the grains in hot water to convert the starches into sugar, created the wort. They've done that for you. And some companies have even added the hops and everything and done the boil and done all that work for you. Basically, the most time-consuming part of the whole beer brewing process has been done for you. Now, there's a few companies. I mean, for example, I've been using Cooper's kits for a long, long time. Many, many years, even before the internet was around. And I know there's a couple people out there. Some people might think that I work for the Cooper's. I do not. I use the product. I get good results. And, my experience. And there's other companies out there that make Muntins, for example, makes beer kits. I'm probably forgetting a lot of names because we don't have a lot available up here where I live. But the Cooper's kits are the ones that I've been using. And they come in a can. And so basically what Cooper's has done is they've taken the grains, steeped them, boiled them with the hops, and then what they do is they centrifuge them, which means they spin them, and they spin all the, something like what your washing machine does when to spin the clothes. Takes okay. all, most of the water out of the wort, and what you end up with is a very thick syrup. And they put that in a container, and they ship it, and now what you have to do, all you have to do, is take that and rehydrate it. You don't even have to boil some of these kits. You just put the water back in, add your yeast, and ferment it off to beer. Now, somebody might say, why would you want to do the all grain method when you can just make it out of a can? And that brings up a whole talk about why people make their own beer. There's different reasons. Now, down in the U.S., their beer's cheap. They can go and buy their Coors Light and their Busch and their whatever they buy, Budweiser. And it's, literally very, very cheap. I'm going to give you an example. Where I live in Canada, beer, the price of beer is for 24 12-ounce bottles of beer. Okay, so a 24 case of beer.
Or a 2-4.
Or a 2-4. They don't call it down in the States there. They go, what's a 2-4?
Yeah.
So 24 bottles of beer is $28.50, and that's the cheapest swill you can buy. And it goes up from there. So it's not like that in the U.S., and it's not like that in some other. So somebody in the States who says, well, I want to make my own beer, they're not doing it because they are worried about the price. They're doing it because it's like fixing cars. They want to have all the tools, all the wrenches, and all the stuff to be able to do their hobby. It's a hobby. And at the end of the day, they're proud of what they've done. Okay. Yeah. Now, in where I live, when I started making beer 20-something years ago, I wasn't thinking of it as a hobby. It was like, well, I'm willing to give up some of my time in order to save some money, because I ain't buying that expensive beer that we get, which doesn't even taste very good.
Right.
And that's, so there's two different approaches to why people make beer. And I think that's where a lot of the controversy has happened, in the forums and online. Well, why would you want to, and in the U.S., the grains and the hops that you need to make the beer are so readily available and so cheap that for some people down there, it's like, why go buy a can and have to add things to it to make it taste better?
Right.
That's going to cost me twice as much as if I just go get the grains and do it from scratch.
Yeah, probably just a bike right away.
Let's not go there. That's an inside joke. Well, that brings up a point, and that is that in some parts of the world, including around where I live, it's not easy to get. Even if you do go to that place that's supposedly a bike ride away, it's not really. But even if you do go to a place that sells some of that stuff, They have a very limited supply, and it's expensive.
Yeah.
It's not cheap like it is down in the States. So, you know, for somebody who might say, well, yeah, this guy, I've had people criticize me and say, well, you've been brewing these kits for so many years. You know, well, how come you haven't moved up to all grain? Well, it's only a few years ago we even had access to the grains and the hops.
Right.
And even then, they're still, it's expensive. And so.
But you are getting into that, and you are getting into, I think I've seen on your site, you're getting into some kegging as well.
Kegging's great. I mean, anyone who's made homebrew and has bottled their own beer knows that bottling is a drag.
Yeah.
So kegging is, it sounds scary, but if you can find a keg with, you know, with the proper, the regulator and the CO2 tank, it makes, it's makes a world of difference when it comes time to put your beer somewhere where you can drink it. Mm-hmm. Putting it in the keg is much easier than putting it in bottles where you have to clean them all and sanitize. And sanitizing is so important when you make beer, because any time there's any bacteria introduced into the beer, you're risking an infection, which will give you either at the very least an off flavor, and mm-hmm. at the worst case scenario, you might end up with vinegar. And,
right.
Kegging and that. And yes, I've been playing with grains and hops and things for the last couple of years. Really, YouTube has taught me and my viewers, subscribers, I have them to thank because they've taught me a lot of things too. You know,
it's community, isn't it?
It is. They thank me all the time, but really, I thank them because some of the people that we've got, like, sort of a little group that, you know, some of us, you know, we have 5 or 6 or 10 of us that we communicate back and forth. We can ask each other questions. And I've asked questions, you know, some of these guys that have really complicated setups. And I'm like, you know, I have questions just like everybody else does.
Right.
And it is a little community. And I've learned a lot from, and as a result, I'm making better beer. Even from the beer kits, the Cooper's kits or whatever it is that I've used, I've been experimenting with adding what we call adjuncts, which are, you know, other fermentable things like sugar, brown sugar, honey, glucose, different things that will add to the fermentability of the beer. Because remember, we're working with sugar and yeast here, and the more sugar that's in the wort, the stronger the beer will be, because the yeast will keep on eating until there's nothing left. So the more you give the yeast to eat, the more alcohol it produces. That's not to say you should dump 12 cups of sugar into your wort and try to make beer, because that'll just ruin it. It's not like that. There is a balance to be had. And that brings up a whole other... Oh, go ahead. Ask a question.
I had a question.
I talked too much.
What part of the world you feel are more people that are coming to your Craig to...
From the statistics that I can gather, it's mostly, it's the United States, a fair bit from England and Scotland and Ireland. And, I mean, I could click on a look right now, but I won't bother. Australia. That's where Cooper's is based, so it makes sense. Some of those guys would be brewing Cooper's kits, and they would have run across some of my videos. I could go look Canada, of course. I mean, Canada people are scrambling to figure out how to make beer because it's so bloody expensive up here to buy it. So, yeah.
So all over the world.
I wouldn't say that. I mean, you look at the map. I mean, you can go on YouTube and look at your statistics, and the whole map isn't colored,
yeah.
But it's basically, I guess, probably wherever beer is expensive.
Yeah.
And in the United States, beer brewing is a huge hobby. People get into it. And a lot of times they start out making it simple ways with the beer kits, and then they move up to partial extract brewing, which is basically, it's like a beer kit, but you mix some of the grains in with it. So it's both combined kind of thing. I have a video on my YouTube channel that talks about the 4 different ways of making beer, the 4 sort of, I guess, tiers you'd call them.
What are the 4 tiers?
Simplest.
What are the 4 tiers?
Well, the four tiers are, there's loosely, let's just say, simple extract brewing, which is when you buy a beer kit that has already been boiled, the hops have been added, it's been dehydrated, and then all you have to do is add the water back into it and the yeast. You might add some other fermentables like sugars or more malt extract to get it up to the point where it's going to create the amount of alcohol that you want. And there's ways of testing that, and of course I go into that in videos as well. So that's simple extract brewing. A more complex extract brewing method would be taking a malt extract, which is, again, a wort that's been dehydrated and put into a can or a container of some sort, taking that malt extract and adding your own hops to it. So in other words, you have to boil it yourself and add your own hops to it and create that profile on your own. That's the next step up. The third step would be, let's say, partial extract would be taking the malt extract that you can buy and some fresh grains that you can also buy. Probably some darker roasted grains that would give you a darker color to your beer or more of a darker characteristic, and adding that to the malt extract to give it a different flavor. Because generally these malt extracts that you buy are not, they're just basic base malts, they're called, where they're just the malts that haven't been roasted. They're just the ones that, you know, they pick off the thing, they malt them, they, you know, germinate them, and they, you know, you boil them. They do all that for you. And then you take that and you add some specialty grains, which are the grains that have been roasted, like you roast pumpkin seeds. And they roast them, and there's different degrees of roasting, and that's how you get your darker beers, your chocolate malt beers, and all that kind of stuff. So it's quite a hobby. There's lots of experimentation. The next level, which I think I can't remember what number we're on, three is there's something called mini mash, which is a lot like all grain brewing, but it's like all grain mixed with partial extract brewing. And again, I go into that in one of my videos. It's called The Four Ways of Making Beer. There's an overlap between all these methods. You can, you know, use a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and combine them and save time in some cases. And of course, the final method, the creme de la creme, is the all grain brewing, which gives you full control over the beer that you are going to make. And, you know, it's like, if you really want to have that kind of control, you're going to get that with all grain brewing. It's time consuming. It's very time consuming. It does require some extra equipment, and you're going to have to do a little bit of research to figure out, you know, exactly how to treat your water and how to, you know, maybe just how to treat the different ingredients. But if you're willing to go into a hobby like that, it doesn't matter what it is, whether it's fixing cars or building a ham radio setup or whatever, you're going to do research, you know, you're going to do that. So there's advantages to each way of doing it. The simple ways are cut and dried. You get what you get. You don't have much control over the end product. You're just making it for the sake of making it because you don't want to buy it. It's too expensive. And the more complicated methods take longer, require a little extra equipment, but you have more control, and it's a little more fun because, you know, you are creating it from scratch, basically, like building a soup or a stew or something like that.
No. Okay.
So it's a big hobby.
There's varying degrees of complicated of complexity within doing it. You can start out with what your video was called, you know, brewing the easy way or easy home
everybody
brewing.
Everybody can do that. Yeah.
Everybody can do that.
Everybody. And if you can boil water, you can make beer.
Okay.
With those beer kits. It's simple as that. But a lot of people, when they get into it, they want to start experimenting. And that's when you go at your own pace. You work up to the level that you feel comfortable with. And if somebody looks down their nose at you and says, well, why aren't you doing it this way? You look at them and you say, I'm happy with the results I'm getting. I'm happy with the methods that I'm using. And that's all.
And I'm saving a crap load of money.
In some cases, you are. In some cases, you're not. I said, in the United States, they don't make beer to save money.
No.
They make beer because they can make better beer than what they can buy. And if they're willing to spend the time to make it, and they have access to a lot of the states down there have access to all the grains and hops that you could possibly imagine. I'm very jealous of some of the people down there. There's a homebrew shop down in Texas called Austin Homebrew Supply. You walk in that place. I've never been there, but I've seen videos of it, and it's like a candy store. And you tell the guy, okay, I want to make an Irish stout. Okay, he types into the computer. Computer spits out the ingredients. He goes in the back, and he grinds up all the grains for you. He goes into all the different bins, gets all the grains, grinds them all up, puts them in a bag, gets your yeast out for you and your hops and everything. He says, there you go, and here's the instructions. And if you've got the time and the equipment to make beer, that's the way they do it down there. We don't have that up here. I wish. So I can go up to that bike right away place and which again, some people aren't going to know what we mean by that, but I can go up there and ask for this grain and that grain and this grain and that hop, and they're going to have to order half of them. So I have to go back and pick them up when they're in, and then I'm paying a premium price for them as well. So the point I want to make there is that there are different ways and different motives of making beer. And one person can't dictate what's best for another person because it depends on your circumstances, and that's pretty much it for that.
Well, I have a couple more questions to ask you later, but
absolutely. First,
take a break.
If you suffer or know someone that suffers from back pain, knee pain, or any other chronic or sports-related pains, you need to visit LapingoProducts.com. Dealing with pain can affect every aspect of your life, which is why our products are designed to bring you real relief. Our products are not only easy to use, effective, and safe for the entire family, but our prices are competitive and offer a complete satisfaction guarantee. Visit LapingoProducts.com, real life solutions for pain-free living.
AlternativeLifestyleProducts.com is your gateway to over 500 products, ranging from herbs to pain relief products, health, and well-being. AlternativeLifestyleProducts.com is dedicated to educating and empowering you to make the best possible informed decisions about what products you can use to improve your health and well-being. Visit AlternativeLifestyleProducts.com and bring about change in your life.
And we're back. So, Craig, how much beer would you get out of one batch that you would make?
Generally, you get about 5 Canadian gallons, 5 imperial gallons, which is about 6.5 U.S. gallons. So if you're talking 12-ounce bottles, I guess maybe about 65 bottles of beer. That's something we haven't really touched on.
On the wall.
But they don't stay there for long, let me tell you.
So how much of that would you go through?
Well, I we won't talk about that. No, you get about 65 bottles, and the price that I pay for, let's say I do an easy home brewing batch. Because for me, doing the grains and hops isn't that cheap. So if I do an easy home brewing batch, so if you live in Ontario or anywhere else in Canada that has the same beer prices we do, you go out, you spend about, I'd say $20. You got to buy a fermenting bucket and some equipment up front, but it's not that expensive. Once you've got that, the beer will pay for itself in two batches. So you spend about $20, maybe $25. And you get, for $25, you get almost you get 65 bottles of beer for $25. Mm-hmm. And maximum. We're paying more than a dollar per beer when we buy beer at the store here. So, you know, we talk about 65 beers for $25. I don't know the math. I can't do the math right now, but it seems to me that's less than 50 cents a beer, probably way less. So it's a money-saving thing for us. Again, in these states, in most parts of the states, it's not that. That's not the case. They're doing it because they want to start a hobby. So it's different strokes now, for different folks.
If you were a beer connoisseur, would you be drinking the homebrew type, or would you be drinking the store-bought type?
Oh, well, if you're talking about what we call macro beers, which are your, you know, I guess I'll name it. You know, you're in up here, it's Molson Canadian, Labatt's Blue, whatever. Down in the States, you're talking Coors Light, Budweiser, Old Milwaukee, whatever. You know, the standard ones you walk into the store, they're right there up front. If you're talking about those beers, most beer connoisseurs know that those beers are what we call, well, for lack of a better term, piss water. we drink them, and, you know, they're nice. They're not, you know, there's nothing particularly wrong with them, but you could make much better beer. Now, if you talk about micro beer as opposed to macro beer, micro beer is smaller breweries, and you can imagine the large breweries, the big guys, the big corporations are pumping this stuff out like, you know, whatever. Here's beer. Come on, come get the beer. The microbreweries are more like, okay, you know what? We want to make good beer. We want to, you know, have a better tasting beer, put more money, put more time into it, more effort into it. And so they're making beer that's closer to what you would be able to make if you're a good home brewer. Mind you, that beer is more expensive. I'm holding in my hand right now a empty bottle of St. Peter's Winter Ale. Now, if you go to your beer store, wherever you buy your beer, your liquor store, and you look for any St. Peter's beer, and that's just one of many, 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 you drink that beer and you realize, okay, yeah, this is the difference between craft beer and just store-bought macro pump it out so we can make our money beer. That's the difference.
Just a quick note, if anybody wants to call in and talk to Craig, our call-in numbers are on our website, www.spectrumradionetwork.com, or I can give them out now. There's four lines, and it's 1-530-413-4511. Or 1-530-413-4515, 1-415-287-0074. So you can call in with any of those numbers.
If they go to your spectrumradionetwork.com site, there are they up right there? Where do they have to go?
Yeah, they're in the contact area of the www.spectrumradionetwork.com. You click contact, and all four numbers are there.
I mentioned to my viewers on a video recently, actually last night, that we might be accepting calls. So it would be great if we heard somebody call in. I don't know
you can also Skype in to BBS Radio. BBS Radio has the ability to take Skype calls. They have a server, so if you want to call in on Skype, you can do that as well.
Of course, they have to add BBS Radio to their list, but I invite calls. So, and we can do this again, too. Guys, if you know we want to do a phone-in show, I'm all for it.
All right.
I get lots of questions.
So, Craig, now, I'm not a beer person, but some of the stuff that I've seen you do seem a little bit too complicated for me. If I was a brand new person, if I want to take up this hobby. Mm-hmm. So I was wondering, is there like simple ways of just, you know, doing a...
In other words, what video would you, or series of videos, or in what progression would you tell Tom to watch your videos on CraigTube?
Well, I have a little bit of house cleaning to do on my channel. My brewing videos and all my other videos are all mixed up. And the very first video series I did, which is a four-part series, was done in 2007. I was nervous. I was a little bit green as far as other methods of making beer other than what I did. Mm-hmm. But if you follow those procedures, and I've annotated them and made some updates to the videos, they're very simple. If you buy a beer kit, as example, as I mentioned before, like a Cooper's beer kit, and I mentioned Cooper's because I use their product. The beer kit comes with instructions. And your homebrew supplier, I mean, if you watch my original series of videos, I think they're called Homebrewing the Easy Way, is I think what they're called, although I may change the title to Easy Homebrewing. That's what I call them now. But yeah. If you watch those, you'll learn the equipment that you need, and it's very inexpensive to get started. And again, if you can make hard-boiled eggs or, you know, make craft dinner or whatever, you can make beer. And then you either may be happy with that, and you may say, hey, I'm making beer, I'm fine, I'm good, I don't need to do anything else. Or you may say, this is interesting, and I've heard of some other techniques, let me try more. And then you'll say, well, I can add this to it, and I can do this to it, and maybe I can try that. And then you go as far as you want. The complications, you know, with any hobby, I think it's important to start with a simple setup. If you're talking about ham radio, you don't want, you know, a whole room full of transmitters and you know, I don't know anything about ham radio, but you start simple with just a ham radio and a microphone, and you build your system from there. You don't want to overwhelm yourself with all this stuff and instructions and procedures and things that you need to do, because you will not listen. Some of the questions I get, like, why isn't my airlock bubbling, or, you know, how come there's this foam on top? I mean, these people are really new to it, really, really new. And if they're asking questions like that, that are basically real basic questions, what the heck would they be doing if they were doing it the more complicated way, where there's a lot more to worry about than just, you know, those things? So my angle of it is, start simple, work your way up to a point where you're happy with what you're getting.
We got a call. We got Brian on line three.
Brian, okay.
Hi.
Hey, Brian.
Hi, Craig.
Hey, Brian.
Hey, how are you? Hey, you Brian, know, you really got me into brewing, actually. I've been at it for about 3 months now and had some beers come out pretty good.
Cool.
I just wanted to... here in the U.S., it is cheaper. A lot of people do it here as a hobby because it is cheaper here in the U.S., but it's not cheaper if you want good beer, as you were talking about before, like a lot of the macro beers. That's cheaper, but I just wanted to make that point that if you want good beer here in the U.S., it is still kind of pricey, and so that's why I started.
Okay.
Because
that makes sense.
I can't really, yeah.
So you're saying that Craig got you into this, or helped you along?
Yeah, he. I wanted to start brewing because if you want good beer, it can be expensive. You know, even here in the U.S., you can get the swill. Cheap, but if you want good beer, it's pricey. So I have that going forward, the desire to basically save money and have good beer. And so, you know, I started looking into how to do it, and Craig is you know, how I learned how to do that. So just want to say thanks, Craig. And
hey, no problem.
Keep the videos up.
That's good to hear. Thank you so much. And I agree with you that some of the more expensive beers are. But yeah, still, yeah, no, absolutely. Good point.
So Craig, right.
Thank you for your call.
What's your like favorite type of beer that you make?
Did I make?
Yes.
On an ongoing basis, I like lager beer. I like ale, lighter ales. In the summer, I like lighter beers, lighter colored beers. Some of the beers that I've made with the kits, there's a English Bitter by Coopers, which I absolutely love, and it is popular. In fact, my supplier ran out of it. Somebody was kind enough to send me. I can't. some of these people that watch my stuff are so kind, and I did a video a little while ago, and I said I couldn't get the Cooper's English Bitter because my supplier ran out. They're on back order, and a guy that lives not too far from me, I think somewhere in Ontario, he sent me two cans of Cooper's English Bitter and said, "Ah, it's probably because of me, because I bought four cans, so here's two of them for you." And, you know, I mean, this is the kind of thing that, you know, that that happens. I'm just doing what I do. And if it's working for people, then that's awesome. But back to your question, I love the dark beers. I love it when I can take some liquid malt extract, say a beer kit like a Cooper's, let's say a Cooper's English Bitter, and add some grains to it. Do a partial extract brew with that and put some maybe extra hops in there. Ferment that up, put it in the keg, carb it up a little bit. That's a good beer. It's easy, doesn't take very long. Dark ale, that's another one of my favorites. Look, I brew a lot of Cooper's homebrew kits because it gets me makes. I make better beer than what I buy when I go to the store. And as the caller, as Brian mentioned, if I go to the liquor store and I buy a St. Peter's beer, which is my favorite beer company, brand of beer, there's different, they've got the dark ale, they've got the stout and all that kind of stuff. That beer, I think you've got to do quite a bit to a beer kit to get it to taste like that, but you can do it, adding some extra grains and things like that. I love porters. I love English-style beers, bitter beers. That's my favorite style of beer.
You also make wine and something called inmate beer.
Right? Oh, yeah, or inmate brew.
Inmate brew. Can you tell me about that?
The thing about fermentation is that you can ferment just about anything with sugar in it. Wine, of course, we won't get in. I mean, wine is grapes and you know, you take the juice out of them. And there's a whole industry making wine and a whole. The Italians have all the, and the French people, they've got their pressing machines. They press the grapes and they do all this
California?
Stuff. I haven't done that, but you can buy wine kits as well as beer kits. And it basically is the same idea. You get the juice that's been dehydrated and you add your water to it and you make wine. You could make some pretty damn good wines from those kits. As far as the inmate brew goes, now inmate brew, people might say, well, what the hell is that? Well, inmates, you know, in a jail, they want to drink. So they know how brewing works. They take some juice from the cafeteria and some, bread, which has yeast in it.
Right.
They throw it in the back of their toilet or in a garbage bag or some sort of container, and they let it rip. You know, they ferment it, and they get whatever they get. It probably tastes really bad, but they can catch a buzz off it, you know.
Craig's actually got a video on how to make inmate brew.
We don't do it in garbage bags or toilets, though.
No.
We actually use, you know, you buy a bottle of juice, like, let's say, cranberry cocktail, apple juice, as long as it doesn't have preservatives in it. You'd open the bottle, you take some of the juice out, you add a couple cups of sugar to it. Don't, like, you know, watch the video. Don't just do it the way I'm saying it now, because you might end up killing yourself. if you can make methanol, which is not a healthy thing. I've got videos on making inmate brew, which are very, very safe and easy. You put the sugar in there, you put some yeast in there, you add some sort of a device that will allow the carbon dioxide to escape but not let air in, like you can use a balloon or an actual airlock. It's all on the videos, and you've basically gone to the grocery store and bought yourself a bottle of juice, a little bit of sugar, yeast, which you can get in the baker's aisle, or if you want to get some brewer's yeast, that's probably the better idea. Mm-hmm. Mix that all up, and you a week or two or a month later, you've got a pretty darn good tasting drink, and you catch a buzz. I mean, you've got 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10% alcohol in that, so you know making your own alcohol is not hard. But be careful because you have you can't just ferment sugar and water. Because you're going to get other substances, other types of alcohol that aren't good for you. So, you know, follow the procedures on the inmate brewing videos and you'll be fine. And you'll, you know, it's an experiment. It's actually a great way to figure out how fermentation works and become less scared of making beer or whatever it is you're going to decide to make in the future.
Well, and the ways you do it are safe. I mean, you teach
course they
safe.
Are.
A safe
yes.
way you go through.
I've tried all of them. I've drank them all, and none of them. No, they're fine.
And you're still here.
I'm still here. And if I did something that was made me very sick, I would definitely post a video saying, "Don't do this."
Yeah. The other thing I wanted to mention on just cover a little bit is that your channel, Craig Tube, on YouTube, isn't just about brewing. I mean, the vast majority of your videos are on brewing, but you also have a series called Craig's Kitchen, where you teach people simple ways of cooking and recipes, and you go through the whole process.
You know, when my wife and I first we moved in together before we were married, and it was kind of sudden, and I didn't know how to cook. She didn't know it. Neither of us knew how to cook. We were opening Chef Boyardee cans, and all that kind of stuff. And we all know that, that stuff's fine. And it's not very good for you if you eat it all the time. Just to make a short story long. No, to make a long story short. I watched cooking shows since I was a kid, but there was one particular cooking show that I really liked that it was on during the 90s. Most Americans a lot of people won't know it because it was a Canadian cooking show, but it was called The Urban Peasant, and by a man by the name of James Barber was the cook. And Urban Peasant. Well, peasant cooking is simple cooking, but urban means everyday, like busy life, city living kind of thing,
mm-hmm.
right? So, kind of a mixture of simple, but still good meals,
right?
And that's where I learned how to cook for the most part. And his shows are no longer on. He's passed away. And I love to cook. I love to teach. So, if I find something that's really simple, see, the thing is, if you want to teach somebody how to do something, you can't throw it all at them at once. You've got to start them off simple.
Right.
Teach someone how to drive. First, how to adjust the seat, how to adjust the mirror. How to check the doors, tires, how to start the car, so it's not like, okay, you're going to learn how to drive. There, get in and go around that track at 150 miles an hour.
Right.
You can't do that with people. If you want to get somebody into a hobby, you have to, like,
keep
baby steps, baby steps. And then, you know what I mean? It's the same with everything. And then they get confident and they become better at what they do because they've got the groundwork. They've got the foundation. Underneath them to support what they're about to get themselves into.
Man.
It's very important.
You've also got, we mentioned in the beginning of the show that you started out in the music industry at a pretty young age, and you did do some professional singing, and you uploaded a lot of your videos of your songs, onto your YouTube channel, CraigTube, and some recent things that you've done as well. Can you talk a little bit about that?
About what I've done or about the videos that I've uploaded?
Well, about what you've done in your musical history that's brought into your channel.
Okay, well, yeah, sure. I mean, I've been singing since I could walk. loved to sing. I used to get into, you know, remember you used to have those closets with the louvered doors, kind of the slats, you know, where you could kind of see through them. I'd get into a closet and close the door, and I'd put my hands up to the slots, and I'd start singing, and I was a radio. I was 5 years old. And I'm a radio, and I was a DJ. I was, like, singing, you know, whatever song was popular at the time. And then after the song was done, I'd be like, and that was Craig Faraway with, you know, and I'd do the whole annunciation thing and all that. You know, drums and guitar and keyboards, because, you know, I was a bit of a hermit when I was a kid.
Right.
Stayed in the house a lot. And because of the limited eyesight that I have, I wasn't out playing road hockey with. And that's not something we never mentioned, is that, you know, I was born partially visually impaired.
Mm-hmm.
I can still see, but I can't drive a car, and there's a lot of things I can't do. So I spent a lot of time finding things to do inside the house in the basement. And one of those things was learning how to play some instruments. And, you know, you've got a lot of time in your hands. You can learn just about anything. So, anyways, again, moving right along, started writing songs when I was a teenager. I was, you know, did, as was mentioned in the beginning of the program, I wrote a song for the Calgary 88 Olympics called Dream on the Horizon. That video is on YouTube. Yeah, you know, one of the things that, you know, when I started my YouTube channel, I thought, you know, I'd like to get some of my music out there. I never made a career out of it. I had opportunities to pursue a career, and I sort of got cold feet because I'm not really... come on, these people travel. They travel, they go all over the place, they do interviews, they sleep in hotels, they ride buses, and I just... That's not me. That's not my style. And I knew, and I realized early on that, holy shit, you know, I am not the kind of person who can live that kind of lifestyle. And so maybe I gave up a large amount of money if it had taken off, but I also would have given up a large amount of security and happiness and possibly family, kids, you know. But along the way, still created, you know, music. And when I created the channel on YouTube, when I created CraigTube, it was a way for me to go, well, I got a couple of music videos I wouldn't mind putting out there, see what people think. That was the initial purpose of it. To tell you the truth, I mean, as I mentioned before, it wasn't to create a home brewing channel, but things go the way they go. And I'm more than willing to follow what the viewers want me to do. And I try to please, I try to do what they want, as best I can anyway. So I hope that answers your question. I don't know if that does, but.
No, it's just I noticed on your channel that you had a lot of different things, not just the brewing, but you also had a series of videos on cooking, and you had a series of videos on your music, what you've uploaded of your music, your original music. We played last week, we played on the end of that interview we did with Chris Rutowski. We played Losing My Head Over You. I'm just going to give out, we're coming to the end of our time right now, but what I would like to do is I would like you to give out your website and any information, your contact information, so people can get
okay. hold of you. Sure. Well, CraigTube is spelled CraigTube, and you would only have to search Google for that, and you'll find it. I do have a website, a little bit sparse right now, but you can download my music. My music is sort of dated. It's a little bit retro. But it's there at craigfaraway.com. That's CraigFarraway.com. And you got links on your site to it, too.
Yes, we have links on the upcoming guests. And tomorrow it'll be in the down, past guest section where your audio will also be. And I encourage people to sign up to BBS Radio for the archives there as well, because they have 10,000 hours of interviews with over 50 hosts, not just me and Tom, Spectrum Radio. They have every, you know, so I would encourage people to sign up for there. What we'll probably do is it seems, because I've seen quite a bit of your channel and it does have so much to offer, we're probably going to have you back, because I still have questions that I have to ask.
And well, I put a lot of different content. I put a lot of different content on my channel because I want to make sure that home brewers are going to come over, musicians are going to come over. Like, I tried to create a lot of open doors to my channel. You know, somebody might come over looking for how to make chicken or something, and they might, oh, look at, he plays the drums or he makes beer or whatever. So, yeah, it's a good way of attracting more traffic to a channel by doing different things. And I love doing lots of different things. I'm a busy guy. So.
Okay, so we're definitely going to have to do that. And guys, check out Greg's YouTube channel. It's got lots of stuff. We are definitely going to have to end here. We're a little bit over our time. So we'll finish the night out with a song from Craig Fairway called Devil in Your Eyes. Thanks for joining us, Craig. Thanks,
everybody,
for
having
listening.
Me.
And
see you next time.
See you next time.